Today we remember saxophonist Frank Morgan. He was a brilliant player whose life took many dark turns. Ultimately, jazz was the redeeming force in his life, and he enjoyed a renaissance during the later years of his life. Sadly, the jazz world lost Frank in 2007, but I was able to get together with him for this piano jazz recorded in 2004. It's so amazing to me that somebody that plays as great as you do seems to have spent half their life in prison. What a drag.
Well,
when did that start?
It started many years ago. The fact that Charlie Parker was my idol. I guess that my pea brain at that time didn't allow me to process all of the music and the drugs, and my desire to be just like Charlie Parker in any way that I could.
So you had to do everything he did.
Exactly. No matter what he said not to do. And I met him at 7 years old.
Oh, really?
And that's how I became a saxophone player, when I heard him play the first time. I was a guitar player until I was seven, because my father was a guitarist.
Your father was a famous musician, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was with the Ink Spots.
With the Ink Spots,
yes,
right. Yeah.
And he was also a jazz guitarist. Who never really got a chance to really work at jazz, but he was a friend of Charlie Parker's.
What an experience.
Yes.
Goodness. Well, before we go into any further, there's so much we can delve into. Let's play something, and then we'll come back, and there's so much I want to ask you.
Well, just feel free to ask me whatever you want.
I will.
My life's an open book, and I really mean that. You know?
Your life's an open book. Yeah. Well, so is mine, yeah. But a few of the pages got stuck together.
Well, I think more than a few got stuck together in mine.
Well,
but it's great to be alive, you know.
Yes, and you look very happy, which is nice. I guess you are.
Yes.
Pretty happy.
Every day is beautiful.
You know? Oh, I feel the same way. I'm dying to hear you play.
Thank you.
And we've got a great backup here, too, for you. Gary Mazzarappi on bass and Glenn Davis on drums. So what'll we do?
Well, let's just take it easy, medium tempo, and play a little Blue Monk in B-flat.
Oh, that's a great tune.
You know?
Can't go wrong. Fascinating to me. Let's go back to when you were 7 years old, and how did you? I guess your father knew Charlie Parker.
Well, it wasn't until, yes, he did. He was taking me to hear the Jay McShann Orchestra.
Jay McShann. Oh
yeah,
my God, we've had him on the show.
And I had heard nothing about Charlie Parker at that time, and my father, you know, it was just, I was proceeding as if I was going to be a guitarist.
You were already playing the guitar years old.
Yes, I'd been playing some form of the guitar all my life, I guess, because my father used to practice by my crib, and he said he waited till I started reaching for the guitar.
Isn't that wild? How old were you when you reached for the guitar?
He said I was around two. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then he started to show you a few things?
Yes. I guess he was, you know, just practicing, you know, and babysitting or whatever, and you know, all the other times, and then just And he said, but I guess when he wanted me to play the guitar, but I guess he wanted me to make the first move.
Well, that's very clever. In other words, he wasn't going to force you into anything,
yes,
like so many parents do.
Well, that's why it's very significant to me that when he took me to hear the Jay McShann Band, he said that that the first time Charlie Parker stood up to take a solo, that I turned to him and said, "Hey, Pops, that's it for the guitar."
Really? Yeah. And that you were seven years old then?
Yeah. I said, "That's what I want to play." I mean, he said, "That's what I said," you know.
So yeah. How soon after that did you got a...
Well, the next day, Charlie Parker agreed to meet my father and I at a music store. And he had a rehearsal with the band and couldn't make the appointment, but he sent Teddy Edwards and Wardell Gray.
Oh,
they were
goodness.
Both alto players at that time.
Yes, this was I remember.
And with instructions to start me out on clarinet.
Yeah, because saxophone would be a bit much for a seven-year-old.
Yes, it was his wisdom that wanted me to experience the clarinet, you know, just because you have to learn to use your face muscles, you know, in the clarinet right away just to stop it from squeaking before you even talk about getting a sound, you know. And so I think he wanted me to experience that control.
So how long did it take you to get, you know, to get a feel for the clarinet?
I don't think I ever did, because I was mad. I was mad with him for a while because I wasn't playing what I saw him play.
Oh, you didn't like to have to start on clarinet.
No,
but he was actually doing the right thing.
Sure, he was. There was, I mean, you know, I wasn't wise enough to see that at the time, but I'm certainly grateful for that now.
So then, how soon after that did you get a saxophone?
Well, almost 2 years, and then I got a soprano saxophone.
Yeah.
And
that was a little closer.
That was but I used to sneak through the back alleys to go to my lesson because I didn't think that was a very hip looking case. It was, you know, just a step below a violin case.
Oh yeah, you figured the kids would think you were a sissy carrying
it. Right.
Were you learning tunes? How did you learn some tunes?
Well, my father, you know, by playing at home with my father.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then by then, you know, I had the beginning of a great Charlie Parker collection.
I'll bet you did.
Yes.
And did you see him in the interim?
Yes, whenever he would come to town. And then when I moved to California at 14 years old, I saw him more often.
So you really got into it.
Yes, and it was beautiful. I mean, and until I was 17 years old, when I started to dabble, you know, with heavier drugs.
Oh, so soon?
Oh, sure. I mean, I waited. It seems like I was patiently waiting to get on my own so I could make that decision.
And you decided that was part of the scene, that you had to do drugs as well as play?
Well, I thought that was, I certainly wanted to be cool, you know, but be part of the club, you know.
And you thought that was being cool?
And I thought that was the proper thing to do.
What was the first hit like?
Well, it was very impressive. It impressed me so that I continued to pursue that first hit the rest, you know, practically the rest of my life.
Jesus.
I mean, up until I was, 54 years old. So.
Well, after you did that, were you playing in a band? Did it do something? Did you think it did something for your playing?
I never really believed that. I guess in the back of my mind, I knew that it didn't do anything for your playing.
Well, what did it? How did it make you feel?
Well, it made me feel better as a human being, as a social animal.
Really?
As you might say. But it didn't. It turned out to not be the thing that I used to play. I ended up being such a severe addict that I didn't play and use at the same time.
Oh, boy, you were out having to score.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's where all the, you know, the prison time and all that.
Well, so when did it catch up with you so that they put you in jail?
The first time was in 1953. I was 19 years old in San Francisco. I was playing at that time.
Who were you with?
Oscar Pettiford.
Oh, my goodness.
I was in a quartet with Oscar Pettiford, and Sonny Clark was on piano. Sonny Clark was my roommate.
He was also into drugs, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. We started using at the same time.
Oh, man. I wouldn't even know what the feeling is like. I wouldn't know.
Well, it's not something that I would recommend that anyone does. I mean, I certainly...
It's a bit late for me now. I don't think I'll start.
No. There's no problem with that. It's, you know, I mean, I guess as a world, we're becoming more aware, you know, of the ill effects but it's still a serious problem. I talk with kids all over the world about that, and I try to share my life with maybe... in hopes of some other people don't have to go through that.
That's great. Well, what have we got coming up next?
Well, there's a tune that I kind of been thinking about playing with you. I mean, the last couple of nights I kind of see myself playing Embraceable You.
Really? You've been thinking about it for a couple of nights?
Yes.
Boy, that's
a couple sleepless nights. I've had a couple sleepless nights prior to coming on the show.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, we should make up for that. Let's play the tune, and then you'll sleep tonight.
Oh, right. Thank you.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz at NPR.